getting back to where you need to be. Next on Sound Doctrine.
God wants us to be revived. He wants us to be in love with Him. If we've gotten away, He wants to bring us back. And He wants to get that fire going again of your first love in the Lord, putting Him first, putting His Word where it belongs in my heart.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after You. I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Hi there, and welcome to Sound Doctrine. Pastor Jeff Johnson has been teaching us from the book of 2 Chronicles. Now, we've all experienced it. There you are talking to someone and they're not listening to a thing we're saying. Today, we'll uncover the value of listening. When we turn a deaf ear to the Lord, we're treading on dangerous ground. Join us, 2 Chronicles chapter 10, as we hand things over to Pastor Jeff in our continuing series in 2 Chronicles.
This is a huge lesson for all of us. You say, well, what is that lesson? Well, the lesson is, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And the lesson is the value of listening, and we need to listen. God's still small voice. But more than just listen and more than just hear, we need to trust and obey. Solomon somehow, some way, rode off into the sunset. Nothing was spoken about how he blew it in so many different ways, with gold, with women. I mean, he collected horses, chariots, he wanted a lot of tanks. And he did things that the Lord said, I don't want you to do those things. And in a way, he was half-hearted for the Lord in the latter 20 years. The first 20 years, it was awesome. Never had so much peace, so much just great things going on. But then it somehow got lost. And then he had a child. He probably had many children. The 1,700 wives and concubines. So you're going to have a few children out of that. But there was one child called Rehoboam. And this child, of course, we ended last time we were together with verse 31. And it says that Solomon slept with his fathers and he was buried in the city of David. So he's gone. David's gone, Solomon's gone. Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So we have someone new on the scene who is now going to be king. After Solomon, his father, died, he was going to move in. But yet, this is a man that was even worse than Solomon as far as being half-hearted. He didn't even have a heart for the Lord. He just had a heart for him and what he wanted to do. And we're going to see that in a moment. But, I mean, he has a high and a holy position. If you're following after David and Solomon, you've got some pretty big shoes to fill. But it didn't seem like he cared. Solomon did not raise Rehoboam correctly. Like I said, the last 20 years, he lost it. And he raised this kid in a way that was not good. And we're going to see the results of raising a kid not in the ways of the Lord. Over in, I was thinking about this in 1 Samuel. You can jot it down, but in 1 Samuel 3:13, Eli was a priest in the temple. And it says in chapter actually is chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were the sons of Baal. They knew not the Lord. They were sons of the devil. I mean, here's a priest's sons. It's like a preacher's kid, right? Most spoiled kid in the Sunday school. That should not to be. Something's wrong with that. But they knew not the Lord. He didn't take time to be with his kids so they could have a relationship with the Lord. And then over in 1 Samuel chapter 3, in verse 13, "For I have told him," God is speaking about Eli, "I told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons," God knows, "his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." They brought prostitutes into the temple. They did everything that was contrary to what is holy. So he didn't restrain them. Well, what do you mean? Well, when they were younger, he didn't train them in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. Remember, Ephesians 6, verse 4. "You fathers, this is our calling, to train up our kids in the way he should go." Proverbs 22, 6. "And when he is older, he will" what? "Not depart from it." So the importance of raising a child in the very beginning in the ways of the Lord and through their school age, man, it's you can't put enough importance on that. And in fact, great men like Billy Graham. Billy Graham says, "I wish I would have been with my kids more when I was younger. I was always traveling and doing God's work." You know, I'm the same thing, same testimony. By the grace of God, my kids came to the Lord. But it's tough. But we need to really see the importance of it and take time with them. There's an interesting thing about Proverbs. From chapter 1, verse 8, he says, and this is Solomon, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother." Chapter 2, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Chapter 3, "My son, forget not the law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Chapter 4, "Hear ye children, instruction of a father, attend to no understanding." And then he goes on in verse chapter 5, "My son, attend unto my wisdom." Chapter 6, and then chapter 7. I mean, it just went on and on and on. Solomon's writing to who? He's writing these proverbs to his son, to his family, but anybody else can read them too. We have them today in our Bibles. Very, very good teaching. Awesome teaching. "My son, listen, listen." And evidently, he wasn't getting it. It went in one ear and went out the other. Because of what we're going to discover tonight, Rehoboam rebels. Rehoboam doesn't go the way of the Lord. And because of that, he's going to split and cause a division to come within Israel. Israel is one. Israel is what God put together. That's a holy people for his name. And yet, they're going to be divided through a man who wasn't raised and who didn't get it as he was being raised. So, there's going to be 10 tribes to the north that are going to leave. They're just going to take off, go up north. And they're going to be called Israel. There's going to be 2 tribes go to the south, and they're going to be called Judah. And Judah really is God's priority here. I mean, that's all we're going to talk about in the last section here in Chronicles. Because God's concerned about Judah. Why? Because it's the seed that's coming from Judah, from David, that he's wants to show here that is so important. It leads to Jesus Christ. Now, this section that we're going to be looking at, there's 5 periods of revival. And God's, you know, he's going to be reviving his people over and over and over again. Because God wants us to be revived. He wants us to be in love with him. If we've gotten away, he wants to bring us back. And he wants to get that fire going again of your first love in the Lord, putting him first, putting his word where it belongs in my heart. So we're taking off in chapter 10, verse 1. And it's a sad report here what one son can do as far as division. And Rehoboam, it says, went to Shechem, and Shechem where all Israel come to make him king. So this was an important time. They were all going to set him up to now lead them as they were led by David, as they were led by Solomon. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt. Now, Jeroboam's this character, he used to be around when Solomon was alive, but he was a shaky guy. He was a guy that was gifted, and Solomon saw the gifts, but he also was a guy that wasn't with the program, and he didn't trust him. In fact, in a moment, he went after him to kill him. And so Jeroboam said, I'm out of here, and he went to Egypt. So he was in Egypt, whether he had fled from the presence, notice, of Solomon, the king. And he heard it that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. So now that he found out that Solomon is dead, he's gone, so he can come back now. See, he's a leader type, and he knows he's got a lot of people looking at him. In fact, he's the one that's going to take up the 10 tribes to the north eventually. But he was a rebellious guy, and he rebelled against Saul. But notice verse 3, and they sent and called him. So Jeroboam, who was that leader type, and all of Israel, came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying. So Rehoboam, right there, right here, right now, you're going to see when we move through these next few verses, he could have stopped this whole thing of rebellion. He could have stopped the civil war. He could have stopped the whole thing just by listening. He didn't have an ear to hear. And it's a warning to all of us. If you do not have an ear to hear, you're in danger of causing great division, great schism. Notice verse 4. He came and he said, your father made our yoke grievous. This is Jeroboam. You know, he, right there you see his heart towards Solomon. That old man, he really, you know, whacked us out. And then, now therefore, cease thou somewhat of the grievous servitude of thy father. Your father was a slave driver, and we were the slaves. And he just nailed us. His heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. Just listen to what I'm saying. Solomon wasn't good at the end. He got so crazy with the building projects. I mean, we're talking 40 years of building. After building for 40 years, huge chariot cities and going throughout the land and building these monster kingdoms everywhere, they had high taxes. Taxes are a killer. Taxes have been the downfall of many nations. I have yet to see a president who is and they always say, no taxes, right? I have yet to see that, and I've seen a lot of presidents, okay? I've been around a while, 66 years, to see a bunch of presidents coming and going. Every one of them says they're going to lower taxes. Not one of them ever did it. Not one. Just keeps going. So it's a lot of greed going on, a lot of sin taking place, okay? So we see that Rome was destroyed, along with their immorality because of taxes. That was one of the big things. It brought down the French Revolution, let alone the American Revolution. It's all about tea, taxes. Today's taxes, out of control. Will we have civil war again? I don't know. But it's really hard on those that are trying to make it. And it becomes like, you know, a heavy burden on the people. We all experience it. So interesting, it says that Jeroboam is just saying, can you give us some relief, king? That's all we're asking. He's coming with all the 10 tribes. Just give us some relief. We need some relief after your dad. He was nuts. He was like the Winchester house. Kept building and building, and there's and it just no end. Verse 5, and he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days, and the people departed. Interesting. This is nice. Let's pray about this. Let's think about this for 3 days. To reduce taxes. Verse 6, and the king, Rehoboam, took counsel with the old men, old guys, wise old guys, to make a decision. The elders know. They've been around since, some of them, since David. And many of them, the 40 years of Solomon. And had stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return an answer to this people? You hear what they're saying, and you hear what they want. They want us to lessen the load. And so, you see, he could have listened to the elders. He could have listened to them, but he didn't have an ear for old guys. They're a bunch of old geezers. They don't know anything. It's the new generation that's growing up. It's us that have been technically, you know, trained and with all the technology, and we're the ones, you know. And well, notice verse 7, and they spoke unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people. Here's the elders saying, just be kind to these people. Please them and speak good words to them. They will be thy servants forever. Now, there is some reason there. Take it easy. Hey, we've had a hard time for many years. How about letting up a little bit? Stop government spending, you know? Reduce taxes. But it never happens. So they're asking for something that's rare, that never to happen. But they're asking the old guys. Now, over in James, you can just jot this down, 3:17. Listen to what James says. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, and then it's gentle. It's easy to be taken in, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. You know, the older we get more like this man, this wisdom. You see, wisdom and age, they do good things to all of us. Because you've been around, you've seen it. And hopefully you're learning from what you've gone through. And these old guys, they're mellow. And they're reason. They're given reason to back off. Does he hear? Can you just give some grace? Verse 8. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him. And he took counsel with the young bucks, his buddies, that were brought up with him. Uh-oh, you know, they're close. That stood before him. Poor judgment all the way around here. And he said unto them, what advice give ye that we may return answer to this people? Guys, come here, listen. You know what they said. Saying, ease somewhat the yoke that thy father has put on us. The young spiritually, young chronologically, just young bucks, just wanting, you know, position. I know the king, he's my buddy, he'll listen to me, his comrades, you know. And so he surrounds himself with these doughheads that are just so full of aggression and want to get ahead and just, you know, their motives are all wrong. Danger, danger. And the young men, verse 10, that were brought up with him, spoke unto him, and here's their common sense, saying, thus shalt thou answer the people, and that spoke unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. In other words, don't ease up at all. Just lay it even heavier on them is what he's getting the counsel about. Verse 11, for whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Scorpions is what that whole thing is with the whip. It's a chastiser. It's a scourger. It bites like a scorpion. He says, I want to whip you guys into shape. And you guys are going to give even more than when my father was ruling. This is not good. So more taxes. They all saw taxes as, hey, we're part of the government. We're going to get more money. Our salary, our wage is going to be, you know, $250,000. That's pretty good. In fact, I'd like that. That's what's going on in our country. There's something wrong with that. Not servants. They're there for the money. And they're making a bunch. This foolish decision that he is making to follow the youth is going to come back to bite him big time. It's going to cost him tremendously. So he's sort of a heartless, insensitive guy. And that's the answer of youth, isn't it? Heartless and senseless and just insensitive to what the situation's really about. He didn't care about the old days. He didn't care about the hurt on people. He just saw the young bucks saying, let's get more money from them. Now we're in control. Let's do it. So Jeroboam, verse 12, and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day. So just as he asked them, hey, let's all just pray about this. Let's come together and let's reason together. As the king bade, saying, come again on the third day. Verse 13, and the king answered them roughly. He was, you know, sitting on his throne, big shot. I'm in control now. But he's all insecure. He's a king that doesn't know what's really going on in his kingdom. Can you imagine the burden that it was placed on him? He doesn't know the Lord. He's not trusting in God. He's not listening to the Lord. He's not listening to the people. He's not listening to the older guys and what they're saying, who know the people. He's blowing it all the way around. So he gets this gruff, you know. He just totally rejects the maturity that's around him.
We are partway through a study on the value of listening from 2 Chronicles chapter 10, and this is Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. If you enjoyed today's message, you can hear it again online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5. That number is 800-353-7553. Again, we are here to serve you at 800-353-7553. We realize the past year or so has been a real challenge to many of you. You've experienced stress, hurt, pain, maybe like never before. Loneliness, oh, that's huge. So what do you do when life hurts? Well, author Kevin Johnson suggests pray the Scriptures. And that's emphasized in a book aptly titled, Pray the Scriptures When Life Hurts. You can experience hope and healing through the power of God's Word as you read this excellent book. It is our featured resource right now at Sound Doctrine. Request it today at sounddoctrineradio.org or call us 800-353-7553. It's just $10 from Sound Doctrine. And anything given above that amount will help us continue on this radio station of yours. Thank you for your generous support. You know, when we hear of men and women that are growing and benefiting through the sound doctrine contained in God's Word, we're reminded of people like you who stand with us to help make this possible. To donate, visit sounddoctrineradio.org. We'll cover more ground in 2 Chronicles next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. It's the daily radio ministry presented by Calvary Chapel Downey.